Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we're going to continue our study in the Urantia book on section four. Give me one second here. I believe we're going everywhere. Let's see what I got here. Okay, here we go. Diane, do you want to start reading for us here? Oh, we still got the splash screen up there. I
I
can
can
read
read
it. Remember, yeah,
it.
real easily. Okay, birth and infancy of Jesus. All
All
right,
right,
before
before
we
we
get
get started,
started, let
let me
me give you
give some
some background.
background.
I'm
I'm
getting
getting
feedback.
feedback.
Would
Would
you
you?
hit your mute button for a
Yes,
second?
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, let me give a little background on this. First of all, this starts on page 1344 of the original book. This is paper 120 tweet, 122. In all the rest of the books. And we're going to start at the birth and infancy of Jesus, which is paper 122. The two previous papers we have already done. We did those in 2023, and I sent them out to everybody, and they're on Facebook and YouTube, so you can read those. There's about six or eight papers coming up to this spot, paper 122. So we're going to go straight through the life and teachings of Jesus all the way to the end of the book. So I want to tell everyone that we're doing this in such a way that it tells you the story of Jesus in succession. All right, and that's why we're going to read it in succession too, all the way to the end. And it's important for us to do this so that people see what actually happened in Jesus's life, because in the New Testament, all of the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, have bits and pieces of Jesus's life in different times and that sort of thing. So there's no consistency in the New Testament of the life of Christ all the way through. Where if you follow us in the Urantia book, you will see the entire story of Jesus from the time he was born to the time he was resurrected and ascended to God the Father. So, and this is all in line, and there's maps in here that we're going to go through. You'll see, you can follow the maps, follow Jesus through the maps. You can even follow Mary and Joseph on a map before they actually had Jesus. So that's why we're doing it this way. I'm going to be doing some stuff on YouTube and some of the other platforms starting this weekend, probably. So our page is going to have some new stuff on it. All the videos, we've done a video for every single paper, all the way through the Urantia book. And for my 51 years of study in the book is out there on these videos. Everything I know about the book is out there on these videos right now. But I'm going to start another section starting probably this weekend. And I'm going to start doing some other stuff on my page. And the reason I'm doing this, I have fought against trying to monetize my pages ever since we started the last 14 years. I have taken most of the cost of all of doing this on myself. It's, the members of our group have helped out with some donations along the way, but I've got to do something to help fray some of the cost of this. As everybody out there knows, I'm a disabled veteran, and I've gotten more and more bills and stuff because of my illnesses and things like that. So I'm gonna have to start doing something to monetize my other stuff on YouTube. And so on the page, Roger Paul DC, on the YouTube page and on Vimeo, and probably it'll be out on Facebook and other places, I'm going to start doing some monetization stuff. And some of that stuff is going to have nothing to do with the book, and other parts of it will have things to do with the book in a different way, because all of the videos we've done so far has been a teaching video. Right? We've been going through the book and teaching people. I'm gonna start working on some AI stuff, which will generate some videos with pictures and things like this. So it won't be exactly like these. These will still be out there, but the new videos that I'm gonna put out is gonna have a different flavor to them, so that I can bring in some more users. We've been out there for 14 years, and we still don't have enough users to even break the 10,000 subscription mark on any of the platforms, Vimeo or YouTube or Facebook or anything. So if you're out there listening, please subscribe so that we can increase our numbers. And until the numbers increase, our videos will never come up on the search platforms, or will never come up on YouTube and things like that on the list for people to watch, because we don't have enough subscribers. Okay. And it's the algorithm of YouTube is set up that way, that if you don't have enough subscribers, your videos never come up, so you never become popular, right? So what I'm going to try to do is do some other things to get people in to watch, so that they can benefit from this book. That was the whole point of doing this, was to teach this book and show what a wonderful revelation this is of Jesus's life and everything else. So if we can't get it before people, we're wasting our time. So I've started learning how to do AI and all other sorts of other things, so that we can do this and get more people to come in and subscribe and look at our content, right? Because
Hey, yep.
really, all of our content is teaching content. So I'm going to have to put some entertainment content out there so that we can get some more people listening. That makes sense?
Yes.
Hey, Roger.
Yeah.
Congratulations on 51 years.
It's a long time, isn't
That's great, yeah.
it? Yeah. You'd think after 51 years, I ought to be able to read,
And this is
huh?
a fascinating paper. I thought we were going to start with 57, so this is a
No, but
treat.
we're going to go, we're start at the beginning of Jesus's life, and we're going to go all the way to the end on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Okay.
That's great.
Now, if y'all want to do some other subjects other than Tuesdays and Thursdays going through the video, we're going to have to do this on another day. Okay. So if y'all come up with some things you just want to study, if we want to take like a Wednesday or a Friday or something like that, if you get three or four people that want to learn about a subject like Adam and Eve or whatever that we've covered already, but you'd like to go back over, if you let me know, we'll plan it on another day. But at this point, I'm going to use Tuesdays and Thursdays to do the life of Christ. And this is going to go pretty quickly, because there's not a lot to say about some of the information in the life of Christ. You know, you read it, it's like reading a novel, and it's just there, right? So you're not going to hear me beating it to death like I do the other topics. Okay. So let's get into it. All right. Now, my wonderful wife's going to take the
Soon. Paper 122, Birth and Infancy of Jesus. It will hardly be possible fully to explain the many reasons which led to the selection of Palestine as the land for Michael's bestowal, and especially as to just why the family of Joseph and Mary should have been chosen as the immediate setting for the appearance of this Son of God on your rancho.
Isn't it interesting that out of all the hundreds and hundreds of planets out there in our local universe, that they chose your rancher, chose Earth as the place for Michael's bestowal? I think that's pretty special. That's why they call this the jewel of the universe, because Michael had his seventh bestowal here. So that's very, very important.
I understand why they did it.
Okay, tell me, Gary.
Elon Musk revealed it. When he headed up Doge, they asked him, "Where, how hard is it to find bad?" And he says, "You can find it anywhere you look." And that's why they picked Earth.
Yeah, you could pretty much find bad anywhere on the planet if you wanted to. So the commission of 12 that went out, that we're going to find this out in the next paragraph, but that went out and researched the different religions and planets and peoples of those planets, decided that they recommended the Jews, because of their moral standing and their beliefs, as a perfect family for Jesus to be raised in. Okay, so that's how they ended it with Joseph and Mary. All right, and that's how the Son of God got to come to our planet. Okay.
Hey, Roger, I had a question.
Sure.
Was it the author of Part 4 that went out seeking and trying to find a planet for Christ Michael?
No, it was a commission.
Okay.
Timothy, it was a commission of 12, Melchizedek's actually, that went out and tried to find the planet for that they could recommend to Gabriel for Michael to do his seventh bestowal. So, and this paper is being taught by the 12, it was taught by the 12 midwayers of the Midwayer Commission. Y'all, excuse me, my eyes are driving me crazy. Okay, so let's go to this next paragraph, and it starts to explain this. Tim, would you take the next paragraph?
After a study of the special report on the status of segregated worlds prepared by the Melchizedek's in council with Gabriel, Michael finally chose Urantia as the planet whereon to enact his final bestowal. Subsequent to this decision, Gabriel made a personal visit to Urantia, and as a result of his study of human groups and his survey of the spiritual, intellectual, racial, and geographic features of the world and its peoples, he decided that the Hebrews possessed those relative advantages which warranted their selection as the bestowed race. Upon Michael's approval of this decision, Gabriel appointed and dispatched to Urantia the family commission of 12, selected from among the higher orders of universe personalities, which was entrusted with the task of making an investigation of Jewish family life. When this commission ended, its laborers, Gabriel, was present on Urantia and received the report nominating three prospective unions as being, in the opinion of the commission, equally favorable as the stole families for Michael's projected incarnation.
Okay, so they came up with three different families that they felt would be good families for Jesus to be raised in. Okay, and they chose the Jewish race, probably a lot because of Melchizedek's visit to the planet, you know, in Salem 1700 years before that, right? Or 1900 years before that. So they had already, you know, they felt like they were the chosen people. They weren't really the chosen people, but they chose, Melchizedek chose Abraham and his clan, which were Bedouins back then, and that eventually turned into the Jewish race or the Jewish people. And so they stayed with the same line of people when they decided to choose a family, because it could have been any kind of family. It didn't have to be Jews. It could have been pagans as far as they were concerned. But they felt because of the Jewish people had the best possession of certain things, like spiritual, intellectual, and racial things that they felt were important for Jesus to learn as he was growing up. So that's, they chose three families, and then from those three families, then Gabriel had to make his choice, right? All right, Rodney, would you take the next, please?
Roger, yeah. I had a question.
Yeah.
The family commission, who do you think the higher personalities?
That was probably a sampling of every type of personality, both administrative and, for instance, they may have chosen one Lenanadoc's son, one Verondadoc's son, probably a two or three different high angels, you know, maybe even an archangel, but they probably got the highest beings they could find in different positions to all participate in this choosing of this family. And Rodney, I think the reason they did that is that way they got the highest concepts of things they possibly could. Just like picked the highest people or highest beings they could find to write the book, right? The Urantia book. Remember from the beginning of the book?
Yes.
They got the people or the beings that were the most expert on whatever subject it is they tried to teach us. Okay. And the bad part is then you have some idiot like me comes along, studies the book for 50 years, and he's got to teach everybody all these concepts. And I'm not even close to these guys that wrote this book. You know, I'm not even in the ballpark. So we went from the best possible beings to, this little network coming along and he's been teaching it. Okay. But since there's no other little network that wants to come along and do it, that's the way it worked out. Right. So when I get to the mansion worlds and Melchizedek stand before me and they go, "What were you thinking?" I'm gonna say, "Hey, you guys did it, you know? It wasn't up to me." So,
Hey, Roger.
yeah,
Roger.
yeah.
Perhaps they entrusted you with just a little bit of truth to give us.
Maybe so. I don't
Hey,
know.
Roger.
Gary got, yeah, go ahead.
I got a question.
Sure.
I'm asking it for myself, and maybe other people are questioning it. We're
Okay.
talking about they had a choice of three couples
Right.
or families. I
Three
think the word
families.
was families, and now
Yeah.
it's couples.
Yeah, and probably some of them, Gary, were young people, and some of them may have been older couples too that, already had other kids and stuff. So we have to keep that in mind too.
My question is, Joseph and Mary was not a couple, was not a family yet.
They were by the time
G
Jesus, yeah, they'd been together a little over a year when Jesus was in, when Mary was impregnated. Okay.
Correct. But they weren't a family, is what I'm saying. They were not married.
Yeah, they were. That's a misunderstanding from from the New Testament. Joseph and Mary, they made this big story up about Joseph and Mary not being married, and he was going to set her aside and all this stuff because it was a good story, right? Which is not true. Okay.
Correct.
That's why
That.
it's so important to read this book and get it right. Right?
So what you're saying is Joseph and Mary were married.
Right.
He was conceived in wedlock.
In wedlock, that's right.
And the fact that Mary, Jesus was born of a virgin. And
No.
in those times, the term virgin
Yeah.
referred to a woman that had not had a child yet,
Yeah,
not.
a young woman. And it's very important that we understand. And every time I say this, I get emails from people, but the sperm was from Joseph, the egg was from Mary. Okay, just like every other born ever baby ever born. Okay? So that he was conceived like every other baby on the earth. That's part of the bestowal experience, but his personality was literally injected into that baby
Installed.
and bestowed into that baby. But he was the son of Joseph. That's why they called him Joshua ben Joseph, Joshua, son of Joseph. Okay, so he was the literal son of Joseph. He had Joseph's DNA. He had Mary's DNA. He had Joseph's lineage. He had Mary's lineage. Okay, and that's
Joshua
important.
meaning Jesus of Joseph.
Jesus, son of Joseph. That's right. Joshua. Jesus is just the short form of Joshua. Okay. We're all clear on that. So Jesus was the son of Joseph and the son of Mary, just like I was the son of my dad and my mother, right? We don't get to choose our parents. So Jesus didn't, Gabriel chose his parents for him, but we don't get to choose our parents, right? But this was a normal pregnancy. They had been married for over a year when she got pregnant. When she got pregnant, it gave the celestial beings, including Gabriel, the opportunity to say, "Mary is pregnant with a child. Do you want to be bestowed into this child?" That's basically what happened, right? So from that moment on, he was Jesus. He was Michael. He was the Son of God. Okay. That's more miraculous than her getting pregnant, not being, getting pregnant. This whole concept that God made her pregnant is a bunch of hogwash.
Well, they say the Holy Spirit
Yeah, the Holy Spirit
pregnant.
didn't make her pregnant either. Yeah. So, well, I tell you what, I can feel those little needles coming towards me,
Yeah. We were taught that.
We were taught that from
Yeah,
the
we were
beginning of
taught.
time, right? Took me years to figure out from the book what really happened, and then I fought it all the way. I threw my poor First Urantia book looked like it'd been through a battle because I kept throwing it across the room. Every time I'd read something, I'd get mad. I was a good Southern Baptist, so. All right, so let's go on with these three couples.
Okay.
Rodney?
From the three couples nominated, Gabriel made the personal choice of Joseph and Mary, subsequently making his personal appearance to Mary, at which time he imparted to her the glad tidings that she had been selected to become the earth mother of the bestowed child.
Okay, so she was chosen, and then Gabriel was the one that announced it. And there's a little picture, of what it might have looked like. Probably didn't, but that's okay. Let's go on to the next one. Oh no, but Pam, would you take the next one?
Sure.
Almost skipped over Pam there.
Joseph, the human father of Jesus, Joshua ben Joseph, was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, albeit he carried many non-Jewish racial strains, which had been added to his ancestral tree from time to time by the female lines of his progenitors. Progen.
Progenitors. Yeah, that's good enough.
The ancestry of the father of Jesus went back to the days of Abraham and through this venerable patriarch to the earlier lines of inheritance leading to the Sumerians and Nodites and through the southern tribes of the ancient Blue Men to Andon and Phonta, David and Solomon, were not in the direct line of Joseph's ancestry, neither did Joseph's lineage go directly back to Adam. Joseph's immediate ancestors were mechanics, builders, carpenters, masons, and smiths. Joseph himself was a carpenter and later a contractor. His family belonged to a long and illustrious line of the nobility of the common people, accentuated ever and anon by the appearance of unusual individuals who had distinguished themselves in connection with the evolution of religion on Urantia.
Isn't it funny how they chose a family that was of the common stock of the world, right? They didn't pick royalty. They didn't pick people they thought were more important than other. They picked the average carpenter or labor that worked his whole life, and his ancestors did the same thing, right? And so this whole thing of the New Testament writers trying to rewrite the lineage of Jesus to make him a direct descendant of David and all this stuff is just that. They rewrote the lineage and the history as to what really happened. This is what really happened. Okay.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
In the first line, it says Joseph, the human father of Jesus. Oh, I misread this. And I'll point out so for other people, now that I'm getting smarter, I think.
Okay.
I misread this as Joseph being named Joshua ben Joseph.
No.
And I was thinking that's a conflict, but when you see the parentheses after Jesus, I had a mental error,
Yeah.
but somebody else may be doing the same stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Joshua ben Joseph's referring to the Jewish way of saying
Jesus.
Jesus.
Right. Yeah. Joshua, son of Joseph. The Ben just is the son of, right? So it was Joshua ben Joseph or Jesus, the son of Joseph. Okay. That was in the Hebrews. Okay. Let's go on the next one. Latch, would you take the ne next one,
Okay.
please?
Mary, the earth mother of Jesus, was a descendant of a long line of unique ancestors embracing many of the most remarkable women in the racial history of Urantia. Although Mary was an average woman of her day and generation, possessing a fairly normal temperament, she reckoned among her ancestors such well-known women as Anon, Tamar, Ruth, Bathsheba, Ansi, Chloe, Eve, Enta, and Rata. No Jewish woman of that day had a more illustrious lineage of common progenitors or one extending back to more auspicious beginnings. Mary's ancestry, like Joseph's, was characterized by the predominance of strong but average individuals, relieved now and then by numerous outstanding personalities in the march of civilization and the progressive evolution of religion. Racially considered, it is hardly proper to regard Mary as a Jewess. In culture and beliefs, she was a Jew, but in hereditary endowment, she was more of a composite of Syrian, Hittite, Phoenician, Greek, and Egyptian stocks, her racial inheritance being more general than that of Joseph.
So she was of average people, right? But some of her ancestors included Rata. You remember Rata from the stories, you know, of Cain going out and marrying someone, right? And Eve. You know, all these people from the Bible, you can recognize some of these, Ruth, Bathsheba, Chloe. There's a lot of women, common women, that became very important to the stories of the Jewish heritage over time. And so she came from a very interesting heritage herself. Okay. Let's see, Gary, would you take the next one?
Okay. Of all couples living in Palestine at about the time of Michael's projected bestowal, Joseph and Mary possessed the most ideal combination of widespread racial connections and superior average of personality endowments. It was the plan of Michael to appear on earth as an average man, that the common people might understand him and receive him. Wherefore, Gabriel selected just such persons as Joseph and Mary to become the bestowed parents, thus meaning that Joseph and Mary were average.
Yeah, they were. And it gave Jesus the opportunity to relate to the average human being as much as possible, rather than being like born of a pharaoh or something like that, where he would be a privilege. Right? They didn't want that. They wanted him to live a normal life. And that's part of the bestowal experience, is to live a normal life. Okay? So, Diane, I think you're back up.
Two, Gabriel appears to Elizabeth. Jesus' life work on Urantia was really begun by John the Baptist. Zacharias, John's father, belonged to the Jewish priesthood, while his mother, Elizabeth, was a member of the more prosperous branch of the same large family group to which Mary, the mother of Jesus, also belonged. Zacharias and Elizabeth, though they had been married many years, were childless.
You're on mute.
I skipped over Tim. I said that I had missed his picture there. All right, so John the Baptist, who was the son of Elizabeth and Zacharias, John's father, basically he was of the Jewish priesthood, and Elizabeth was one of the main members of a more priestess or more prosperous family group, which Mary was also a part of that group. So right before Jesus was born, this happened with Gabriel and Elizabeth about John the Baptist, because John the Baptist came first. All right, so Tim, would you take that one for us?
It was late in the month of June 8 BC, about 3 months after the marriage of Joseph and Mary, that Gabriel appeared to Elizabeth at noontide one day, just as he later made his presence known to Mary, said Gabriel.
Okay, I want y'all to notice something in this paragraph. This is about 8 BC, okay, first of all. And notice here it says about 3 months after the marriage of Joseph and Mary. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
So Joseph
makes them married.
That makes them married. They were married before any of this happened. Okay? Just like every other couple during that time.
That'd be about March.
That would be about March. That's right. Well, it said late in the month of June. Okay?
Well,
March. Yeah.
What I mean was when
Joseph he appeared. Married. Yeah. Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
About
okay.
3 months, so.
Yeah, about 3 months. All right. Let's see here. Tim, would you take this one too? Because this
sure.
is a continuation of the
okay.
previous one.
While your husband Zacharias stands before the altar in Jerusalem, and while the assembled people pray for the coming of a deliverer, I, Gabriel, have come to announce that you will shortly bear a son who shall be the forerunner of this divine teacher, and you shall call your son John. He will grow up dedicated to the Lord your God, and when he has come to full years, he will gladden your heart because he will turn many souls to God, and he will also proclaim the coming of the soul healer of your people and the spirit liberator of all mankind. Your kinswoman, Mary, shall be the mother of this child, a promise, and I will also appear to her.
So he actually, Gabriel actually appeared to Elizabeth before he did Mary, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. So she knew first. That's because she was going to bear John before Jesus was born. Okay. Because John would be his cousin and he would be born first and then Jesus. All right. Let's see, Rodney, you're up next.
Okay. This vision greatly frightened Elizabeth. After Gabriel's departure, she turned this experience over in her mind, long pondering the sayings of the majestic visitor, but did not speak of the revelation to anyone save her husband till after her subsequent visit with Mary in early February of the following year.
Okay, so Elizabeth had a visit from an alien, didn't she?
Yeah.
That would be about what this would be like, you know, because you have this being appear, this bright being appear, and then after he leaves, she goes, did I really say that, see that, or was that my imagination, you know? And so just like us, she was kind of questioning what she saw until she discussed it with her husband and then eventually Mary. All right. Pam,
so,
yeah.
Roger, don't you think what would it be, the power transformers? Or?
Yeah, it would be the power transformers that would make Gabriel visible to her. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
It would, and that would be the same thing that would have to happen if, for some reason, a Melchizedek or a midway or any kind of being outside our range of thought sight would appear to us, right? There would have to be a physical controller or a power transformer there to allow us to see them or her to see them, see Gabriel on this visit, right? All right. Even though Gabriel's at the top of the charts, he still does not have the ability to make himself visible to a creature as low as us without the intervention of the physical controller so that we could see it. Right?
Much like after Jesus was resurrected.
Right. Yeah, that's a perfect example because the Marantia Jesus had a Marantia body, so he was not physically visible to those who saw him until the power transformers, the mechanical physical controllers, made it possible for those who saw him to see him, right? Had to be that way.
Roger, I just want to mention you skipped over me. I was after Timothy.
Actually, I didn't. I was going to choose you next because I skipped over Timothy earlier before Diane. Yeah. So it rearranges my pictures
okay.
down here. So it's
okay.
hard for me to keep
Can
my
I make
brains.
A trivial point that may be
Yeah, go ahead.
Crazy? I want people who maybe knew this book and listening to us now realize that when you're talking about power transformers, it's not the cartoon version.
No,
if
no,
they're just starting
nothing.
now, they need to go back in the book. I'm not sure where it is, and that'll explain all power transformers and what
Yeah, that's
is.
Way earlier in the book. It's under some of the beings. If you just look it up under the index, it'll give you references to all these type of beings that we talk about and have beat them to death in previous meetings, but you can still go back and find those meetings and listen to everything we got to say about it, right? You just need to know which paper it is. And then each paper we've broken down into five or six meetings, you know, most of them anyway, unless they're old ones. The old ones just go through a whole paper in 2 hours, and we recorded the whole thing straight through. So you can listen to it that way, but you don't get as much breakdown as you do in the later ones I started doing. My whole goal when I started this was to get all the way through the book. And when I started this back in 2011, Rodney remembers, we were trying to get a whole paper in one session. You remember that, Rodney? Yeah. So it was most of the meetings back then were 2 hours. And then when I went back over everything, I broke it down even smaller. So after that, we'd have five or six meetings, or some up to eight on a single paper. So, but they're out there for y'all to enjoy. And that's why we're going through this time too, because when I did The Life of Christ the first time, we'd go through a whole paper, however long it took. And it was usually about 1.5 to 2 hours per paper. Now, interesting part about that is this. If you go out and listening to the Urantia book series I did last year, all of these papers, except for one or two in the Life of Christ, you can listen to the whole paper in less than an hour, which is kind of interesting, right? The whole paper doesn't take a whole hour to read. So just for your information, if you just want to listen to them. Okay. Let's see here. Next is Pam, I believe.
Okay. For 5 months, however, Elizabeth withheld her secret, even from her husband, upon her disclosure of the story of Gabriel's visit. Zacharias was very skeptical and for weeks doubted the entire experience, only consenting half-heartedly to believe in Gabriel's visit to his wife when he could no longer question that she was expectant with child. Zacharias was very much perplexed regarding the prospective motherhood of Elizabeth, but he did not doubt the integrity of his wife, notwithstanding his own advanced age. It was not until about 6 weeks before John's birth that Sir Zacharias, as the result of an impressive dream, became fully convinced that Elizabeth was to become the mother of a son of destiny, one who was to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah.
Now, a little interesting side note about this is this. Zacharias and Elizabeth both were advanced in age, all right? So by the time John got completely to be a man, raised to be a man, Zacharias had already died, okay? Which is an interesting side note. And his mother, Elizabeth, died shortly after that. So they, you know, by the time he hit 20 and 30, his parents were gone, you know, which probably had a lot to do with his personality and the way he lived before he started his mission of preparing the way for Jesus. You know, him and Jesus met, we're going to find out later on another paper, when they were teenagers, and they discussed, you know, what the plan was, what John was supposed to do, and what Jesus was going to do. But they both agreed that they had to be older to start this mission they had, because as young men, if they were before about 30 years old, then the older men and the older Jewish people in the churches and stuff would not believe them. They'd think they was just young kids, you know. So they had to wait till they came of age to start this, which had to be pretty hard to do, right?
Roger, do you know how old Jesus was when Joseph died?
Yeah, he was.
Was it 15?
13.
No,
it was 14.
It's like 15.
14 or 15, was it? Something like that.
I think it was 15.
Yeah, because when he was 12, Joseph took him to the temple. Been so long since I read this part of this book. Yeah, I think he was around 15 years old, 14 or 15 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like that. We could find it really quickly, but we'll get to it in the next few weeks. So let's just
leave it. Could even be 16. I can't remember.
No, he wasn't that old. I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking it was 14, but you might be right. It could be 15. So, all right. I know it was shortly, you know, he went to the temple when he was 12, and then the Sanhedrin came and tried to convince him to let Jesus come to live in Jerusalem and be taught by the priest. But I think that he was 13 when that happened, 13 or 14. So shortly after that. So, okay. Let's go on to the next one. Letch, I think you're up next.
Okay. Gabriel appeared to Mary about the middle of November 8 BC while she was at work in her Nazareth home. Later on, after Mary knew without doubt that she was to become a mother, she persuaded Joseph to let her journey to the city of Judah, 4 miles west of Jerusalem, in the hills to visit Elizabeth. Gabriel had informed each of these mothers to be of his appearance to the other. Naturally, they were anxious to get together, compare experiences, and talk over the probable futures of their sons. Mary remained with her distant cousin for 3 weeks. Elizabeth did much to strengthen Mary's faith in the vision of Gabriel so that she returned home more fully dedicated to the call to the mother-child of destiny whom she was so soon to present to the world as a helpless babe, an average and normal infant of the realm.
Could you imagine that conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that alien that came in?
But, Roger, what's good to point out here is, so Gabriel appeared to Mary mid-November 8 BC.
Yeah.
And Jesus was born 9 months later.
In August. Yeah.
August 21st, 7 BC.
Yeah.
So it does support that his personality was installed into the embryo.
That's right. That's right.
Probably just as the egg split into two.
Probably even pre that. In other words,
maybe
when inception happened and the sperm, you know, invaded the egg, that's probably, that's probably when they inserted, you know, the bestowal really started, you know, so it's kind of interesting. Okay, y'all, let's go on to the next one. And here is Mary and Elizabeth meeting, you know, after they found out about each other. All right. Let's see who's next. I believe Gary is next. Hi, Mosh. I hope I pronounced that right.
Hey, Mosh.
Welcome.
Gary, you want to take the next one?
Yeah. John was born in the city of Joshua. Is that right?
That's Judah. Right. Judah.
Judah.
City of Judah. Judah.
John was born in the city of Judah, March 25th, 7 BC. Zacharias and Elizabeth rejoiced greatly in the realization that a son had come to them, as Gabriel had promised. And when on the eighth day, they presented a child for circumcision. They formally christened him John, as they had been directed aforetime. Already had a nephew of Zacharias departed for Nazareth, carrying the message of Elizabeth to Mary, proclaiming that a son had been born to her and that his name was to be John.
Okay, so here we have the dates again. March 25th, 7 BC, and what when was Jesus born?
August.
August.
August
August.
21st, 7 BC. So John was born first. He was the eldest, and then John. I mean, John was born first, and then Jesus, right? And so John was born in March, Jesus was born in August. All right. Let's see. It keeps rearranging everything. Tim, would you take the next one? And then Diane can take the one after that.
From his earliest infancy, John was judiciously impressed by his parents with the ideal that he was to grow up to become a spiritual leader and religious teacher. And the soul of John's heart was ever responsive to the sowing of such suggestive seeds. Even as a child, he was found frequently at the temple during the seasons of his father's service, and he was tremendously impressed with the significance of all that he saw.
Okay, so he grew up around the temple with his father, who was a priest. So he saw all that went on all the time in the priesthood. So it prepared his mind for what was to come later. All right, here we go. Gabriel's announcement to Mary. Diane, would you take that one?
Three, Gabriel's announcement to Mary. One evening about sundown, before Joseph had returned home, Gabriel appeared to Mary by the side of a low stone table, and after she had recovered her composure, said, I come at the bidding of one who is my master and whom you shall love and nurture. To you, Mary, I bring glad tidings when I announce that the conception within you is ordained by heaven, and that in due time you will become the mother of a son. You shall call him Joshua. And he shall inaugurate the kingdom of heaven on earth and among men. Speak not of this matter save to Joseph and to Elizabeth, your king's woman, to whom I have also appeared, and who shall presently also bear a son, whose name shall be John, and who will prepare the way for the message of deliverance, which your son shall proclaim to men with great power and deep conviction. And doubt not my word, Mary, for this home has been chosen as the mortal habitat of the child of destiny. My benediction rest upon you. The power of the Most High will strengthen you, and the Lord of all the earth shall overshadow you.
Pretty heavy duty message, huh?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Could you imagine a young woman during this period of time hearing such a message from a celestial being? I mean, I get goose pimples just thinking about it, you know. And here's a picture of that area. It's kind of hard to see, but you can bring us up later. But this is the area in which Jesus was born, and everything shows Galilee and Jerusalem, that sort of thing. So, and here's another one. And this is a map of the movement of Joseph and Mary from the time Jesus was born up until they actually fled to go to Alexandria, Egypt. Okay. And that's what all these arrows are for. And that shows the dates and where it is in the book and the time. Which each one of these moves of Jesus and the baby during that period of time. This is map number one.
To
Okay.
give you a just to mention earlier in the readings today, the distance between Mary and Elizabeth's two towns was 4 miles.
Well, that was the distance from Jerusalem to where she was.
Yes,
Mary.
that's my point. It's
Yeah.
that even that may look like long distances, it may not have been.
Yeah, it's not as long as you think. It was longer for Mary to go to Jerusalem from Nazareth than it was once she got to Jerusalem to go to
Judah.
Judah, right? Because I don't remember if it tells us off the top of my head what the distance was from Nazareth to Jerusalem during that period of time. We might find that later when we talk about that story. Okay.
Roger,
Yeah.
the last section we read, though, to me, it's always interesting that whichever celestial beings gave the names Joshua and John. And
Yeah.
it's just, I wonder why. Wonder why
You
they
know,
chose those names.
I don't know, other than Rodney, other than probably Jesus was not, I can't say that either, because Joshua is a pretty common name in the Jewish faith, right? Because there were many Joshuas before Jesus. So,
Quite a few.
yeah, quite a few.
Just
And
interesting.
yeah, it is interesting. All right, let's see. Rodney, you're up again.
Right. Mary pondered this visitation secretly in her heart for many weeks until of a certainty she knew she was with child before she dared to disclose these unusual events to her husband. When Joseph heard all about this, although he had great confidence in Mary, he was much troubled and could not sleep for many nights. At first, Joseph had doubts about the Gabriel visitation. Then, when he became well nigh persuaded that Mary had really heard the voice and beheld the form of the divine messenger, he was torn in mind as he pondered how such things could be. How could the offspring of human beings be a child of divine destiny? Never could Joseph reconcile these conflicting ideas until, after several weeks of thought, both he and Mary reached the conclusion that they had been chosen to become the parents of the Messiah. Though it had hardly been the Jewish concept that the expected deliverer was to be of divine nature. Upon arriving at this momentous conclusion, Mary hastened to depart for a visit with Elizabeth.
I wonder if Joseph, when he first heard this, said, "Woman, have you lost your mind?"
Yeah.
That's something he'd say
Uh-huh.
to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's
We
so
can always go
unusual.
back to Flip Wilson's statement, "The devil made me do it."
Yeah.
And this is a supposedly a picture of the Holy Spirit in inseminating
With an arrow.
Mary. Yeah. But we know that's not the way it happened, right? Okay. Pam, would you take the next one?
Upon her return, Mary went to visit her parents, Joachim and Hannah. Her two brothers and two sisters, as well as her parents, were always very skeptical about the divine mission of Jesus, though, of course, at this time, they knew nothing of the Gabriel visitation. But Mary did confide to her sister, Salome, that she thought her son was destined to become a great teacher.
Okay, and your family always doubts, right? Yeah. Any religious conviction. All right, Letch, would you take the next one? Letch?
Oh, me? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't hear him. Gabriel's announcement to Mary was made the day following the conception of Jesus and was the only event of supernatural occurrence connected with her entire experience of carrying and bearing the child of promise.
So this was the only thing that ever happened to her that was supernatural, right? Is the announcement of the conception. And there's another picture of Mary with the baby. All right, next is Joseph's dream. We're going to have to stop there and take this up next time because it's 6:56. Mm-hmm. Yeah, went by fast, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Okay, let me swap out the share here again.
I like Timothy's image.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. All right. Let's say it had the prayer of acceptance. Who hadn't prayed this prayer in a while? I don't know. Rodney, would you like to do our prayer tonight?
Sure. I believe that God is my paradise father, and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By this same faith, I became a child of God, and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universe, of Nebadon, is Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen.
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 Thank everyone for coming to see us tonight. And y'all don't be shocked if you start seeing some other things out there on putting out. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting, probably. I'll have to get better at it as I go. You know, I really don't know anything about artificial intelligence other than what I've learned this week. So this is going to be an interesting experiment. So,
are you going to use ChatGPT?
I'm going to use ChatGPT. I'm going to use OpenAI too, and a couple other tools too.
I've heard of Grok. G-R-O-K.
Yeah, Grok is the American version, the superior.
Uh-huh.
Right. Chat is from China.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll look them both up. Actually, y'all send me an email with the name of those if you.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell you about artificial intelligence. Every time you think I'm smart, I got you.
What are you going to create with those AIs?
I'm going to take some of our meetings. I'm going to try to transcribe. You know, we did this once before. I did the transcriptions of our, what was it? Origins and History of Universe Destiny. We did like 10 of those and transcribed them. And I was going to take those and put them all together like a little book, so that people could get the basis of the stuff of the book. And I may still do that, you know, if it depends on how much time I have.
You know, that may be fantastic.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. That's a good way to start.
Because the books, may I suggest something? The book is so confusing and hard and challenging and anything about AI, so.
Yeah,
this may be a moment of artificial intelligence, but if it would put it into a more reader-friendly thing without contamination of the
truth,
it would be outstanding.
Yeah. The other thing I don't want to do is I don't want to rewrite the book and make it something that God would consider an abomination of what his work is. You know what I'm saying? So I have to be very careful in how it transposes things and go back and reread it and that sort of thing, because I don't want to put something out there that is a false conclusion out of what we've been studying, because we've done so well in trying to stay, you know, right on the money for the stuff we studied, you know, and I think we've done a pretty good job of explaining almost everything in the book, but we'll see how it goes. I'm going to start out with what we're doing right now with the life of Christ and see what I can come up with. But I would like to go back and do the origins and history stuff again and maybe put it together like a video book or something like that for future generations to study to help them understand the book better. You know, anything we can do for the benefit of the book in the future will be great. See, the whole point of this is the fact that we need to get the word out about the book to stop some of these false conclusions that's being made from the New Testament and even the Old Testament, you know, because what the way God wants it is for us to understand Jesus, his life, and understand him, you know. So I think it's an important thing to do. And if I can get it done before I go on to the ever and ever land, it would be nice, you know, at least get a good start on it. Maybe somebody else can come along and finish it out if that needs to be. So anyway, we'll just see. And as that stuff comes out, y'all will be seeing it, and I'll send y'all copies out, you know, like I do the videos. So now let me warn y'all about something. These videos, you know I've been sending them out the next day on everything. On the YouTube ones, they're out there now. You know, don't take an hour. They post on YouTube. But I want to warn everybody that when I redo this stuff in the new formats and stuff, it'll take a couple days to get this done because I'm just learning the AI tools. So it's going to take me a little bit to get the hang of everything. You know, I'm not a young man anymore. I don't pick things up as easily as I used to. You know, so that's just the way it is. Any questions? Are we ready to go for tonight?
Yeah. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And we will see you Thursday. We'll continue on from here Thursday. All right.
Love you guys.
Good
love
night,
you guys too. Bye-bye.
Each one of you.